Good morning. Hope you all had a wonderful night's sleep. And wide awake, bushy tail this morning. Psalm 33, 33rd Psalm. You have just done what this psalm sets forth at the beginning of it with regard to a beautiful time with regard to the things of the Lord. You've just done what the scripture describes here in chapter 33 and in that first verse, something beautiful. We just sung the song in that beautiful shore. We shall meet. Here's a beautiful thing being done right here. Rejoice, Psalm 33, verse 1, in the Lord, you is righteous, for praise from the upright or the righteous is beautiful. You've done a beautiful thing. You've joined together to do that of worship and praise of Him. And you will continue to worship Him throughout the week, throughout the day, throughout the week. And every day is a day of worship of the Lord. So I wanted to turn here this morning and get our minds thinking with regard to worship services. Some of you have been in church since you were children. Others come to know Christ, different stages of life, and maybe entered in and heard some of your first worship service ever when you came through the church doors to have a part of it. Just a reminder that praise is a beautiful thing unto the Lord. You're doing a glorious thing when you stand up and sing out with whatever voice God has given you. And to use it, voices blend together. Sometimes you say, oh, I don't sing too well. And, you know, usually when you don't sing well, you don't have to tell people that. They know it. But, you know, you just sing together. You know, the songs, everyone blends in, and it's a beautiful thing to worship the Lord. When we read the scriptures, you're worshiping. When all the aspects of the service come together, and we just have this glorious time of worshiping Him and coming forth and thinking on Him. So we'll do that by way of this psalm. We're using it with regard to our verses we have been looking at and thinking on down through Hebrews, where it tells us, but we see Jesus as... And so we want to see Him as the only one deserves worship and praise. We could have went to the book of Revelation, had great time on seeing Him and worship and praise and all that's to be brought before Him. And you'll have a part in it one day. That'd be some choir or voice together of singing, praising unto Him and rejoicing in Him. But here's a time for us together to get in preparation for that time together there in His presence. And just rejoice, Psalm 33, 1, rejoice in the Lord, you know, you righteous ones. And I just pause. Sometimes when I'm going through the scriptures and reading them, and I sit down and think about them, and best time for me to sit down and think about them is getting up reasonably early in the morning and having a cup of coffee that always gets cold on me as I'm sitting and thinking about things of the Word. And rejoice here can be even used, many translations do, shout to the Lord, you righteous. You just are overflowing to let it be known how much you rejoice in Him and love Him and want to make it known, because praise from you is beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. So I want you to think on that. Have it in mind, even this week, if you would, please. Keep it before you and be reminded of it. And this, some people have called this Psalm 33, in praise of praise. In praise of praise. And it might be a good way to think down through it. I see it as some C notes myself, and we'll just cover them as we go down through and remember some C's that are before us. Remember the book of Psalms is out of sometimes called the hymn book of the scriptures, and it should be. And many times when I, as a pastor, would call on folks and visit folks, and they would desire some particular psalm read, or I'd have one in mind, And it's just that which seems to settle the heart, the soul, the mind, the body, and just have a great confidence in the Lord Jesus. So thank you for doing a beautiful thing. And if you didn't know you were together. Praise from the upright is beautiful. And so the song leader gets up front and he calls things to order. And just know you're just getting together to a beautiful thing unto the Lord. And I appreciate it. I'd like to hear. Sometimes I stop singing and my voice isn't even missed in the mix for a few minutes to hear folks singing unto the Lord. And it's just beautiful indeed. And the aspect of worship also, that of course is reading His Word. And then not just reading His Word, but realizing this is the very Word of God. And now those things I have read is what God has said, wants me to listen to, and then do something with them. I know as a kid, sometimes my attention span was pretty short. How about yours? And sometimes I'd be doing something and someone could tell me something and I'd be right beside them and it's just, they don't, you know, just gone. Couldn't remember it. Not thought upon. And things with the Word of God, sometimes we aren't careful. We let them just, we read it, but we don't really see it, hear it, grasp it. And so here, when you're thinking of worship this morning hour, we want our minds dwelling upon this. So the first five verses right there is kind of an introduction, as many of the psalms are set up this way, or the songs. Some people call them the main stanza, and then the rest are like some choruses and so, just interesting way the psalms are divided down. But anyway, the first five verses is a call to worship by the chosen people of God. And so he starts right out there with that shout, or rejoice in the Lord, you righteous. It's a reminder that the word of God is for the people redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. For praise from him, praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord. Oh, we're talking about instruments here, down through the next place. By the way, if you play an instrument or play at it, get it out, dust it off, do whatever. You know, use your instruments with regard to the worship time of the Lord. I always appreciate the piano organ usage and special music being played, and praise the Lord with a harp. You know, make melody to him. It might be sing unto him here, but make melody to him. The instrument there of 10 strings. Verse 3. Notice that, sing to him a new song. I've often put thought here and said, how about writing a new song? Write a song to him. You say, well, never be in a hymn book. That's okay. It's between you and the Lord, and writing to him and thinking on him. And some people write poetry and some write other things. Write a song. I like to use a hymn book and just read some of the hymns in it. And I guess I like in particular a lot of what are known as the old praise hymns. Praise him, praise him. And you ought to do that. It can mean the word fresh here as well. Sing a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy. If you can play, get that instrument, get playing, limber up those fingers, and use it unto the Lord. You can do something beautiful. It's part of the service, a beautiful thing before the Lord. It reminds us of Psalm 147:1, which says, praise is beautiful. Praise is beautiful. So you might be thinking, well, I'm not too pretty. Well, you're not. You're like me. We're just the plain cut of the cloth. But we can do something beautiful together unto the Lord and for his name's sake. And praise him. You ever notice this? As he's always writing to the people, the congregation, to us here, to you who are righteous. See that in verse 1? To you, he says, with regard to making praise that is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make a melody, you know, sing to him, play skillfully. It's a great gold mine of worship brought together here, a whole package for us. And it's written for you and you. It's written for each one of us as believers to have our hearts warm toward God in genuine worship. It's not just, here's the order, do this, do this, do this. No, it's designed to make our hearts, our minds brought into our attention upon God and our emphasis to think upon who he is and what he has done, what he is doing, what he will do. And he's my God. He's not, oh, God, you know. He's my God. To have our attention upon him. Something beautiful. Lots of times we think of beautiful things. We might be driving and say, look at that, it's a beautiful house there. Or we might be out and say, wow, what a beautiful garden you've got. Or what beautiful weeds you have. Or that's a beautiful view. Look at that. Wow. Or I've even heard say, look at that beautiful dog. No, I don't know. My wife says, look at that beautiful baby. She says, every baby is beautiful. In a way, yes. But look what he says here to you. He says, the praise from the upright, that is from the righteous people, it's beautiful. It's reminding us of God loves you, praising, adoring him. It's a beautiful thing to be together. To get ready, to get to the services and be there. The first, the second church God had us to pastor, minister in. There's a family there of with 12 children. And some of them, of course, of years and age are no longer there in the home. But, to get ready and be there and to worship and praise the Lord. It can be a challenge some mornings if we get a whole bunch together. Sometimes the challenge is to get ourselves together and ready and get there. But it's a thing to do because it's just a beautiful thing, that of worship of the Lord and the praise of him. Verse 3, that new song, you know, write a song. We mentioned that. The idea here probably is that of something that's fresh. We know every day is new. God's mercies are new. Sing to him a new song, maybe something fresh. Thinking of his great grace, moment by moment, day by day. And when you come down through at the end of those first three verses, let me read them and just come into verse 4, what we want to point out. So I'm in verse 1, 33:1. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, for praise from the upright or the righteous is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make a melody to him with the instrument of the 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully with a shout of joy for, or you could say, because. What's the reason for these things of verses 1, 2, and 3? Well, it continues on, I believe, in this worthiness of praise and the way of praise, because the work of the Lord is right. And all his works, we got the word and his works, his word and his works in verse 4, and all his works is done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. Causes us to pause and say, what do I love? And it also could cause us to say, thank you, Lord. I thank you that you love righteousness and justice. That means to us he'll do right by us through his Son. The earth is full, verse 5, the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. Do we see that? Goodness can be the steadfast love of the Lord, full of the steadfast love of the Lord. What God loves, we ought to love. And what do we? That's one of those verses. I call it a P&P verse. P&P. You need to pause at it, and you need to take that time to just spend a time of thinking upon it, a passage to pause and ponder. So pause and ponder. Do you ever do that with a verse? Sometimes we're trying to read through the Bible, and we get zipping along. Well, I read through it, and you know, what can you tell me? One real something really stood out to you from the Scriptures today, and you know, we didn't pause and ponder what was there, and so many verses are good for that, for us to do that, to pause and ponder. Well, folks like to make outlines with regard to the Scriptures and the portion of it, and that's good for you, a good way to think through it and have it in mind, and I've done that numerous times. This is not my outline, but someone said the first three verses, that's a call to praise, a call to praise. In verses 4 through 19, the causes of praise. And then at the end, 20 through 22, the complement of praise. The complement. Well, I use some C's as well, and I have the first five verses myself, and I call it the call of believers to worship. And that's many places in the Psalms, a call to worship. Verses 6 through 9, I think, talks about the Creator. Now, it's talking about His creation, creation is not what we worship, it's the Creator. So we love the beautifulness of creation, but we our minds upon the Creator, verses 6 and 9, 6 through 9. And then 10 through 17, the controller, He who controls His creation in our lives. And at the end of it there, the one who consummates all things, the consummator. So just a few little things down through here that might help us to remember it and think on it next time you read it and have it in heart and mind. And of course, when you get down to verse 6, he says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made. That immediately takes our minds back to Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God, the Creator. Takes us to John 1:1 as well. And that reminder with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ and those words brought out. Some have said verse 6, 33:6 Psalm is the germ of the doctrine of the Word of John 1:1. Or in the beginning was what? Was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him or through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. That should indeed be a pause and ponder a little bit of verse for us. You notice that in verse 9, back in Psalm 33 in verse 9, it says, He spoke, it was, He commanded, it stood. That's kind of the short of it there. He spoke, it was. Yeah. He commanded, yep, there it stood. It came forth, set forth. We have two vehicles. One we use most often. It's a 2001 Chevy Venture. The Venture gave us a little adventure this past week. We had to get a lot of work done on it. And there's more to come, I'm sure. But anyway, the other is a Chrysler that we have. And we've been looking at some different vehicles because the Chryslers are lease, and you got to, you know, the lease finishes, and you got to decide going to buy it, going to give it. It's too complicated for me. Shouldn't have done it. But anyway, and you get looking at cars, right? You get looking at vehicles and the names. Where do they come up with the names? The cars. They're strange. One the other day I was looking at
what's it called? A Versa. That can't be right. They wouldn't call a car a Versa. Yeah, they do. And, of course, we see these little cars about the size of the pulpit. I don't know how people get in or out of them. I haven't tried yet. But there's some cars, you know, that's called a Fiat. Anyone ever have a Fiat? Not a Fit, a Fiat. You know, F-I-A-T. Yeah, you got one? Yeah. No? Not anymore. what we have here, the reason we bring that out is what we have here in verse 9 is a Fiat. No, not a car, but a Fiat. We have in the Latin, it is, let it be done. Let it be done. It was just, he said it, that was what's to be done. I didn't know what Fiat stood for, looked it up. And I don't speak Italian either, so something about Fabbrica Italiano Automobile Torino, Fiat. Now you know, right? Maybe the next time you see a Fiat, you'll remember this verse. Maybe that'll be the good thing coming out of it. But look, it says, he spoke, it was. It was done. He commanded, it stood fast. Ah. We have that in similar ways many places in the Psalms and multitudes of other places in the Scriptures, as well we should, because we ought to have and bring forth this constant reminder of God, who we've just sung to, and he did a beautiful thing. Praise and worship of him. The attention was upon him. He speaks there also in verse 6, and I'm sure you noted it, but the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them. You ought to notice the word all. I haven't brought that out before, but you just think of the word all, or see its usage down through this psalm and the attention put upon it. But all the host of them, by the breath of his mouth, the whole solar system. Some years ago, my wife and I would work at a camp. She was the camp nurse, and I was the camp dean, D-E-A-N, dean. One time at camp, I had a couple of little boys. Kids would get homesick on the second night, you know, or the second morning. And I watched these two boys. I sat up on a hillside. You could watch the whole camp. And these boys, I watched them come around the base of the hill and trudge up the hill and up to me, and they said, Mr. Demon, we'd like to call Mom. And, well, you have to work him out of that, of course. At that same camp and running it, one year I wanted to get the emphasis upon what you're reading here. So I said, what we're going to do just after dark, and you've had your devotions in the cabin, we're going to bring all the kids out, and we're going to march them up a field up in the back side of the camp where there were no lights, and you're going to have everyone lay down and look up. And you hear kids go, oh, as they looked up. Some kids never looked up in their lives, you know? And to lay back and look up and see what you're reading about here, the hand of God and the gloriousness of the system that he has put together. Verses 6 and 9 reminds me of my littleness and my dependence upon him. Many delight in the wonderful works of God. That is, many look at stuff and they might never acknowledge or speak or say, well, that's something God made or God did that. Many might delight in the wonderful works of God without acknowledgement of God. So at the same time, while they look at the delightful works of wonderful works of God, at the same time they despise the God who has made the wonderful works that are before them.
praise is a beautiful thing.
You've done a beautiful thing praising the Lord.
We'll move on, see if the voice goes with us. Verse 10, if you would please. Here's the controller. God's in charge. Who's in charge? God, the controller, the Lord, brings the counsel of the nations to what? Nothing. Don't you love it? All the nations of people get together in this big conference, that big conference, and all the plans that are made. Then he makes the plans of the people of no effect. Verse 11, the counsel of the Lord, what? It stands. The plans of his heart. The plans of his heart to all generations. Glorious to think upon it and have it before us. It's a beautiful little, we call a parallelism going on here. Or a contrast, perhaps, even. Between God and mankind. Between God and mankind. He says, the Lord brings the counsel. His counsel stands. And then it speaks of man and his plans are of no effect. That's why our encouragement is to make our plans based upon the truth of the Word of God and what it has put before us and who has done what he has said he would do. We praise him for his total control with regard to all that is in our lives day by day. As the pastor mentioned this morning in the great Sunday school class, as you think about the Word and its workings, and what God has for us, what's planned for us, whether it be in the physical realm. Our dependence is just upon his counsel and what he's brought forth, and his counsels with regard to the nations as well. Of course, we have that beautiful, well-known verse, verse 12. Perhaps the verse we know the best in this psalm. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And it's a reminder to us that the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. As a direct picture, of course, to Israel and the chosen heritage of the Lord's that they are. Those that were not a nation and were nothing, and he made a nation. He chose them because he chose them. That's all it is. And it's a great study. If you never have studied the word blessed in the Psalms, it would be a great blessing to you to do that. Just get it and study through it out the Psalms. This is something I got from the ESV Bible, page 971, if you're interested here. It says, blessed. We're blessed because we're called. They were made a nation, a select nation, for no reason of their own, to be God's own, by which the whole world would come to know him. Of course, that's by way of his Son. The whole world would come to know him. That's grace, grace, God's grace. And the question must come to from me at this time to you. Do you know him? Do you know the Lord? Is he anything to you? Does he mean anything to you? I was brought up where the name of Jesus was a repeated curse word multitudes of times and on a daily basis. And so I've often told folks, and maybe I've told it here, that when God saved me, he changed my language, but the way I would speak totally. Because every other word was a curse word, the misuse of the name of the Lord Jesus. And only God could change someone from that overnight, literally, so that I could barely put together a sentence. Some say it's why I became so quiet. I didn't know what to say without a curse word in it, a swear word, a misuse of the name of the Lord.
Just a glorious thing, a beautiful thing to worship the Lord and to be known also as His own child, one who belongs to Him. The emphasis by way of the word all brought out here is, you know, when you think of it in this portion we've just been looking at here, you know, all the sons of men, all the earth's inhabitants, all the fashioning of all the hearts and all the understanding of all that we do. We got His, the Lord who sees all, knows all, His omnipotence and His omnipresence. And the gloriousness of who He is. You ever see it illustrated like this before? It's very interesting the way the Lord illustrates for us. when you read there in verse 13, Lord looks down from heaven to see all the sons of men. That could be very scary or just a great blessing in your life, either way. From the place of the dwelling, He looks to all the inhabitants of the earth, verse 14. We know that from other places, the gloriousness of the constant care of the Lord. He fashions their hearts, considers all their works. Again, that can be a great thing or a scary thing, considers all their works. No king is saved by the multitude of an army. Mighty man is not delivered by great strength. A horse is a vain hope for safety, neither shall it deliver any by its great strength. You ever notice here in verse 16 and 17, you ever put together a little picture like this? You've got the hosts, you've got the heroes, and you've got the horse. And what do you got when you put all that picture together? Well, you got that which is without power. You might have a great host. You might have someone who's a hero. And a horse, the war machine known at that time. All has or is without power. Impotent. If God is not your trust, it matters not the army, matters not the hero, matters not the war machine. If God is not the one who is your trust, God's the controller. He controls the host, He controls the hero, controls the horse, but they are of no confidence. As the Lord looks down, if He is not your trust. You know, worship is a beautiful thing because it draws all attention away from us and it places it upon Him. It's not upon us who we are, what we look like, what we've done. It's upon Him. We conclude with this a little bit in verses 18 through 22. He is the one who is the consummator of all things and is called to worship. Which we just looked at in verses 16 and 17 is a false trust. It's a false trust to have your trust in the armies and the heroes and the war machines. Our nation has a false trust in all of that, as do many. But here's our true trust is in verse 18 and 19. Here's the trust that we have as a people in the hands of God. Behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear Him, the greatest honor, respect, reverence for Him, on those who hope in His mercy, to deliver their soul from death, keep them alive, famine, all the great difficulties there are. It's a call to a God-fearing people.
of redeemed people. It's a call that says, are you as God's redeemed people? Are you really trusting Him? Or is your worship just something you do because it's to be done? Or is it the great emphasis of your worship? Is it that of a great trust, a real trust with regard to Him? Our reliance upon the providence of God is what is being brought forth here. Just as His creation stands and will, so our trust in Him, His providence stands. Verse 20, our soul waits for the Lord or depends upon Him. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in Him. Here's worship. Because, why does our heart rejoice in Him? Because we have trusted in His holy name, are we? Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us, just as we hope in you. There's this constancy from the hand of the Lord, this continuing gloriousness of trust in Him, and this continuance of praise from us. Verse 20, that's a reliance. You see that? Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. There's a reliance. I'm relying upon, waiting upon, depending upon. My life is to be a picture of that, of a dependence upon Him. His timing perfect for everything in time in my life. Verse 21, for our hearts shall rejoice in Him because we have trusted in His holy name. Here's that rejoicing again. We rejoice in Him. Why? Because we've trusted in His holy name. We can rejoice. It goes back to the first three verses of the psalm and what we have there. And then 22 is a request. You see this request? For your mercy, O Lord, let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us. There's the request. How many times have we prayed and cried for God's mercy? Or have we forgotten to? Have we become dependent upon ourselves, our heroes, our horse, our host? Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us. Notice this dependence and what it is. As he says, the more I hope in God, have a confidence and a trust in Him, the more I lean upon His mercy. Notice the verse. Let your mercy, O Lord, be upon us just as we hope in you. I was a kid and went to church from time to time, and then got up in the early teenage years, and my dad did what I called the last cattle drive of Shenango County. We drove the Holsteins right up the main road of Route 80, literally. Went up about 3 miles and let another herd of cows out of another barn, and they had about 100 head, and we drove them about 2 more miles right up the main state road. What were people going to do? They stopped. 100 head of cattle, Holsteins, and so drove them up and got them settled into their new barn, their new place. And from there, my folks, not knowing the Lord and caring about the things of the Lord and making many threats and so on, because the Lord had changed my heart and life, and I believed I had to be there to worship God. You got to get there somehow. When God has changed your heart and life and you know who He is, you must gather for worship. It's a beautiful thing. You want to worship Him. And so I'd walk to church. And the first song I ever remember having been and being in church and keeps with you because you sing it so often, of course, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him remember the rest of it? Creatures here below. Yeah. Heavenly hosts, creatures here below. Praise Him. Yeah. And we see Jesus. Our focus when you come, and this worship is a beautiful thing because it's a worship of God for what He has done through Jesus by the Spirit of God. So how shall my praises ever find end, as the hymn writer? And they won't. There's no way for them. My praise here is preparation for praise there. It's a beautiful thing to praise the Lord. Don't ever be ashamed of it. Our Father, thank You for the Scriptures.